Hello everyone, so this is the best way for me to start off this episode. I have a high regard for sex and sexuality. To me, sex needs healthy media exposure, not to be degraded by salacious media exposure. I think that sex should be a healthy public celebration as well as a healthy private celebration. I have a high regard for sex, both in good health and in moral excellence. My deepest form of gratitude concerning the gift of sex is the compassionate usage of the gift of sex. I uphold the dignity of the person, the dignity of the body, and the dignity of the sexual experience. I am about avoiding unhealthy practices, and I promote healthy ones with discernible instructions. I am concerned about health. I'm about the maintenance of physical health and the health of inner life. I am lovingly concerned about sexual habits of us beings, not to be a busybody, not to be nosy. But so that we don't end up sexually distorting one another. I acknowledge the peacefulness of life within my own sexuality by being of sexual noble character, I avoid the known and unknown dangers of the pollution of sex and sexuality. I strongly agree that sex is such a powerful and essential part of what it means to be human. Therefore, sex must be treated with great respect. Natural sexual relationships, due to the natural use of the gift of sex, is of utmost importance. I practice healthy self-regulation. When it comes to sex, I also practice healthy self inspection when it comes to sex and sexuality. So, without further ado, let us get involved into the subject matter at hand. So, many of you are wondering this question about my being an intimacy professional when it comes to the adult film world. Antonio, how would you respond if the adult film world said, "Hey, you're so helpful to us with survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, survivor sensitivity, sensory sensitivity, sex concerning our pornographic films. Antonio, would you do us the honors to shoot survivor-friendly, survivor sensitivity, sensory-friendly, sensory sensitivity adult movies with us as a performer?" This is how I would handle the conversation. Before I get to the point, of course. I would tell them, "Here are my demands. No pornographic institutional discrimination, no pornographic structural discrimination, no pornographic ageism, no pornographic caste systems, no pornographic classism, no pornographic dialect discrimination, no pornographic ableism, no pornographic genetic discrimination, no pornographic texturism, no pornographic height discrimination, no pornographic linguistic discrimination, no pornographic lookism, no pornographic sanism, no pornographic racism, no pornographic colorism, no pornographic rankism, no pornographic sexism, no pornographic sexual orientation discrimination, no pornographic gender identity discrimination, no pornographic speciesism, no pornographic sizism, no pornographic viewpoint discrimination. No child abuse culture, no adult abuse culture. No victim blaming, no victim shaming, no victim gaming. no sex shaming, no slut shaming, no body shaming, no kink shaming, no consent shaming. No wealth inequality, no income inequality, no economic inequality. Full transparency, as well as full authenticity regarding all of your traditions, all of your policies, all of your ideas, all of your practices, all of your laws. A healthy relationship with law enforcement. Performers having lawyers read all the contractual obligations and explaining all the contractual obligations to all the performers before any performer signs any deal. A willingness to include bloopers, behind the scenes content, performer interviews, consent and descriptions, and within the porn itself. And the consensual negotiation of everything said, done, thought, and felt, sexually speaking. Honoring the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee's Model Bill of Rights. Honoring the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee's Performer Code of Conduct. Honoring the Free Speech Coalition's list of industry guidelines. Healthy control and healthy usage of my entire likeness. Being open to all the forms of birth control that I need to use. Efficiency against porn piracy. And lastly, using my permission and checking in with me regarding all of the distribution of me, all the producing of me, all of the marketability of me, as well as my performer name, and placing me in all the porn genres and porn categories that best fit who and what I am as a person. While making sure that I receive the same amount of pay dates that you as the companies get. Every time y'all get paid, I get paid. And if you object to any one of these requirements for me to be in adult films of mine that I created, then I refuse to appear in adult films. If you 100% genuinely, for all the right reasons, strongly agree to all of these requirements for me to be in adult films of mine that I created, then yes, I'll be in adult films. And the last thing I would tell them is that my extra requirement, full protection from in-person bullying, cyberbullying, in-person harassment, and cyber harassment. Meaning I will do your best to make sure that I don't have to live my life in worrisome fear. If they can give me their 100% absolutely, I'll shoot for them. If they feel like they can't try their best, I will not shoot for them. Shoot for them means do adult movies. Those are all the requirements I need. All these requirements of mine adult film-wise are intact and stay intact, so we all in the adult film companies can be protected from adult objectification, adult dehumanization, adult sexual objectification, adult commodification, adult self-objectification, adult reification, adult instrumentality, denial of adult autonomy, adult inertness, adult fungibility, adult viability, adult ownership, denial of adult subjectivity, reduction to adult body, reduction to adult appearance, and adult silencing. And my requirements of mine, adult film-wise, are intact and stay intact. So we're all also in the porn companies making it crystal clear that we despise child objectification, child dehumanization, child sexual objectification, child commodification, child self-objectification, child reification, child instrumentality, denial of child autonomy, child inertness, child fungibility, child viability, child ownership, denial of child subjectivity, reduction of child body, reduction to child appearance, and child silencing. Those are all of the reasons for why my adult film requirements regarding me make perfect ass sense. 100%. My last statement on the requirements, then I'll move forward about adult films, talking about other ways. I would also talk about the importance of regular insurance of all types and pension plans of all types. Regular work benefits of all types and regular entrepreneurship for those in the adult film industry who are entrepreneurially natured. Now I'm going to move on and discuss adult films as the overall. For me, how I am in terms of adult films is that I make it clear that background checks are mandatory for me. I make it clear that narcissism, psychopathy, psychopathy, sociopathy relating to sex, sexuality, sensuality, eroticism, the interpersonal, romantic, etc., are permanently forbidden by me. And I say, that a culture of addiction, a culture of enabling, a culture of coddling, a culture of self-destructive behavior, a culture of psychological manipulation, a culture of coercive power, a culture of workplace violence, a culture of a toxic workplace are also permanently forbidden by me. And lastly, a culture of do as I say, not as I do. That's permanently forbidden by me as well. Now I can really officially talk to you about adult films in general now that I got all my requirements out. And they have to abide by them all so I can work with them. If not, I will not. I've relaxed. I've calmed down. Now we're going to talk about adult films as a whole. W-H-O-L-E. So So, for me, in terms of adult films, I have truly thought about the impact upon my fellow survivors, my fellow neurodivergent families, my colleagues, my chosen family, my biological family, people from my church background. My former classmates in the schools I attended and graduated from. My friends, my best friends, my close friends, my true friends, my talk buddies, my hangout buddies. Myself, their children, women, men, non-binary, gender non-conforming, trans persons. The Black community that I'm a part of. My job security in terms of job applications in the workplace. My entrepreneurial business possibilities. I thought about how the biggest impact that me doing adult films, that possibility, how it could impact rape crisis centers the most and people from rape crisis centers. So I even thought about how my doing adult films possibly would impact the people I used to sleep with them too. So, and to tell you the truth, I even thought about how adult films would impact those who used to rape me back in the day and as a kid. So I thought about all these things for years, and that's why it was a struggle for me to have any kind of feeling okay with doing adult films, because I thought about how it impact women who need marriage and monogamy, because that's right for them. And the women that have told me personally that they need me to be of marriage and monogamy. And then I thought about the impact of doing adult films, like, how would that influence my dating life? You know, I thought about, would it cause any complications to my dating life, my love life, my sex life, independent of the XXX cosmos? I thought about, would it hamper my ability to receive professional services in the large framing of things? And I thought about, like, how adult films would impact people that are my elders, how could I do XXX in a way that the anti-sex work, anti-porn feminists could feel that they could easily respect what I'm doing. You know, I thought of that because I don't want myself nor my legacy to be attached to any kind of adult exploitation nor any kind of child exploitation. I did not want any kind of adult bondage nor child bondage to be a part of Doing Dolphins too. When I was a kid, I was exposed to adult films by the Predators perpetrators, and I didn't have an opinion on it at the time. I was too busy surviving to have an opinion on it at the time. So I didn't start thinking of doing adult films until I was meeting the abuse survivors who were adults I told you about at that time when I was in college. For years, I was on and off about doing adult films and terms of viewing it, terms of self-pleasuring to it. I can honestly say that as of 12 a.m. Sunday, April 21st, 2024, East Coast time in Washington, D.C., that my curiosity of adult films and my viewing of it as often as I did, I don't anymore. For these reasons. I love adult films, I do. But I haven't seen any adult films that are survivor friendly nor censor friendly. That's why I don't watch them. And I don't do self-ejaculation to any adult films that are not survivor-friendly nor sensory-friendly. So any erotica that's survivor-unfriendly or sensory-unfriendly, I don't listen to it, I don't read it, I don't even masturbate to it. So pretty much, like, I love erotica, but I haven't experienced any erotica or porn that is affirming of my survivor humanity nor my neurodiverse humanity either. So as of 12 a.m., I stopped viewing it and I stopped playing with myself to it. As of Sunday, April 21st, 2024, East Coast time. I say that for the last time because I'm so proud of myself. After years of on and off, I'm just off with it for good. I decided the only adult films I'll ever watch is the ones I do because I know it'll be 100% survivor friendly and sensory friendly when it comes to me. Or if I come across like an ethical porn, if they have any survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly adult films, I'll gladly enjoy. If they have any survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly erotica, I'll gladly enjoy. I just know that what I'm coming up with, like including survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly erotica, I know I'll be 100% happy with mine. I can't say for anybody else, that's why. If other people have it, life will bring them to me. Life don't bring them to me. I'm not coming to them. And I know that my stuff is the only stuff that I can have no guarantees of being triggered traumatically. In other words, my stuff has 100% guarantees that I have no trauma triggers at all. With other people, I wish I could say the same thing, but I fully can't. So I'm gonna stick with only my adult films that I want and need to do, and my erotica that I want and need to do. That's it. That's just me. Let me get back. So for me, I look at survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly adult films as neighborly art, neighborly representation, neighborly illustration, neighborly abstraction, neighborly imitation, neighborly modeling, neighborly description, neighborly portrayal, neighborly design, neighborly composition, neighborly performance, neighborly drama, neighborly poetry, neighborly non-fiction, neighborly singing, neighborly dancing, neighborly playing an instrument, neighborly personification, neighborly sketching, neighborly molding, neighborly shaping, neighborly painting, neighborly characterization, neighborly creating, neighborly sculpting, neighborly carving, neighborly music, neighborly literature, and neighborly architecture. Because I look at survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly adult film performers like me as neighborly artists, neighborly masters, neighborly creators, neighborly painters, neighborly composers, neighborly virtuosos, neighborly musicians, neighborly poets, neighborly novelists, neighborly dramatists, neighborly essayists, neighborly actresses, neighborly actors, neighborly playwrights, neighborly writers, neighborly performing artists, neighborly cartoonists, neighborly opera singers, neighborly instrumentalists, neighborly dancers, neighborly ballerinas, neighborly sculptors, neighborly etchers, neighborly engravers, neighborly designers, neighborly architects, and neighborly photographers. Now I'm going to just talk about how, let me use the dictionary one more time. When I think about the reality of doing adult films, this is so important. It's important that we are sensitized to verbal sexual cruelty, verbal sexual brutality, verbal sexual barbarity, verbal sexual sadism, verbal sexual inhumanity, verbal sexual barbarism, verbal sexual mercilessness, verbal sexual wickedness, verbal sexual coarseness, verbal sexual ruthlessness, verbal sexual severity, verbal sexual malice, verbal sexual rancor, verbal sexual venom, verbal sexual coldness, verbal sexual unfeelingness, verbal sexual insensibility, verbal sexual insensitivity, verbal sexual desensitization, verbal sexual indifference, verbal sexual fierceness, verbal sexual bestiality, verbal sexual ferocity, verbal sexual savagery, verbal sexual grimness, verbal sexual monstrousness, verbal sexual inflexibility, verbal sexual fiendishness, verbal sexual hardness of heart, verbal sexual bloodthirstiness, verbal sexual torture, verbal sexual torment, verbal sexual relentlessness, verbal sexual persecution, verbal sexual harshness, verbal sexual heartlessness, verbal sexual atrocity, verbal sexual evil, verbal sexual tyranny. Because we should be mindful of verbal sexual kindness, verbal sexual benevolence, and verbal sexual humanity. To be verbally sexual cruelly, to be verbally sexually savagely, to be verbally sexually inhumanely, to be verbally sexual viciously, to be verbally sexually brutally. Means verbal sexual cold-heartedness and verbal sexual cold-bloodedness. And this is also true. We should be sensitized to nonverbal sexual cruelty, nonverbal sexual brutality, nonverbal sexual barbarity, nonverbal sexual sadism, nonverbal sexual inhumanity, nonverbal sexual barbarism, nonverbal sexual mercilessness, nonverbal sexual wickedness, nonverbal sexual coarseness, nonverbal sexual ruthlessness, nonverbal sexual severity, nonverbal sexual malice, nonverbal sexual rancor, nonverbal sexual venom, nonverbal sexual coldness, nonverbal sexual unfeelingness, nonverbal sexual insensibility, nonverbal sexual insensitivity, nonverbal sexual desensitization, nonverbal sexual indifference, nonverbal sexual fierceness, nonverbal sexual bestiality, nonverbal sexual ferocity, nonverbal sexual savagery, nonverbal sexual grimness, nonverbal sexual monstrousness, nonverbal sexual inflexibility, nonverbal sexual fiendishness, nonverbal sexual hardness of heart, nonverbal sexual bloodthirstiness, nonverbal sexual torture, nonverbal sexual torment, nonverbal sexual relentlessness, nonverbal sexual persecution, nonverbal sexual harshness, nonverbal sexual heartlessness, nonverbal sexual atrocity, nonverbal sexual evil, nonverbal sexual tyranny. Because we should be mindful of nonverbal sexual kindness, nonverbal sexual benevolence, and nonverbal sexual humanity. To be nonverbally sexually cruelly, to be nonverbally sexually savagely, nonverbally sexually inhumanely, nonverbal sexually viciously, nonverbal sexual brutally is to be of nonverbal sexual cold-heartedness and nonverbal sexual cold-bloodedness. To be sexually mindless, verbally, nonverbally. To be sexually soulless, verbally, nonverbally, is to be sexually malevolent, verbally and nonverbally. Now I'm going to talk off the rest of the top of my head without using a dictionary for the rest of this episode. When I think about the state of adult films too, I'm closing my eyes. I think about how in that kind of world, I think there should be a sense of people understanding that it is okay to not sign contracts that means in perpetuity of your full nudity and full sexual department. Any agency or agent or manager that pressures you to do anything that is outside of your sexual, no, in terms of your sexual checklist, it is okay to fire them because you don't want to feel like you're sexually abusing yourself by being within sexually one-sided scenarios. Another thing I've noticed is this. When I think about how that world works, I think more people in that world should be creating their own porn entities, the ones that make enough money where they can. Because I never understood, some people leave the industry and become anti-porn. It's like, instead of that, why not create the kind of porn that you can be fully happy with? Instead of looking at porn through the lens of the male misogynist or the male racist or the male queerphobes, we might look at porn through the lens of equality, equity. Because you don't have to see porn through the lens of social oppression or political inequality. And as for me doing the webcam modeling thing, I'm still open to that. I would be a survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly webcam model. And the reason why I would do that for this new reasons, because you heard my old reasons when I did the episode some time back, is because I want to bring my sex surrogacy tutorial even to their screens. I'm not trying to be a sex symbol. That's not something I care about. But I believe in being unconventionally kind. So if adult films and webcam modeling helps to be therapeutically cathartic and cathartically therapeutic to survivors like me, and censor individuals like myself, that's what I'm willing to do. Because most people who do webcam modeling adult films is purely for their own self-centered reasons. Well, I'm an exhibitionist. Well, I'm a voyeurist. And I like to have sex. I like to be with a lot of women. I like to be with a lot of men. That's them. And no diss to them. I'm just being honest about them, especially with, I get paid to do all these things that I am and like to do. Again, that's them. None of those reasons have anything to do with why I do these things. So many people said, but I thought you were by nature voyeurist exhibitionist and photogenic and you like to make money and you are and you have a history of non-monogamy. Like, I get all that. Don't use my past against me. And those other things about me are true. But none of those reasons have anything to do with webcam modeling adult films when it comes to me. That's the truth. And the truth is that I'm still ambiamorous. I'm naturally ambiamorous. I'm open to monogamy, open to non-monogamy. But that also is not why I'm into, like, thinking of doing adult films and sex surrogacy and webcam modeling at all. No. It has everything to do with the fact that if my fellow survivors, my fellow neurodivergent individuals, my fellow neurodivergent families, all the adults in them, and all the abuse survivor families, all the adults in them, if none of them would have ever came to me and said, Antonio, you should do adult films that affirm us. You should do webcam modeling that affirms us. You should do sex surrogacy that affirms us. I never, ever would have been in the XXX universe at all. I never would have done any kind of surrogate partnerships at all, because I felt like I didn't want to do any of these things the same reasons most people do. I'm like, I don't want to be just another person doing the same thing. That's why I was resistant to doing dolphin sex surrogacy and webcam modeling all these years. I was like, but again, it won't heal anybody if I do what they do for all the reasons that they do what they do. I was like, in my mind, there was no market for me. but all these survivors and neurodivergent persons convince me otherwise. Like, you don't, they're like, you ain't gotta do it the way they do it. As long as you're doing it for us, you're putting all them other performers to shame. And that's when I gave myself permission to be okay with the whole, you can do this stuff. You know? Because at first I was like, I was speaking about it from a possibility standpoint. And I said, no. That word possibility. No, no, no. You are going to do it. It's a requirement for you to do it for us. Now I understand why I say that. And I wrestle with this because it's very easy to look at what I'm doing as pimping people, prostituting people. I'm not. I'm just doing what my fellow survivors need me to do. I'm doing what my fellow neurodivergent individuals need me to do. Because how many people are willing to do adult film, sex surrogacy, and webcam modeling that meets all the sexual reasonable accommodations, all the erotic reasonable accommodations, and all the sensual reasonable accommodations that survivors, neurodivergent adults need? That adult survivors need, which is also romantic reasonable accommodations and social reasonable accommodations. That's what I'm providing. And I can't think of any outlet that's going to provide what I provide. Now I understand why I talk about tantra, tantric sex, kundalini, sacred sexuality, heart-centered sex, and person-centered sex, and twin flame sex. Because us adult survivors, as neurodivergent adults, we don't have these things in reference to us, except in me. So for me, I figured the way I talk about it doesn't cause any pain to anybody. So I'm open-minded and open to doing webcam modeling, sex surrogacy, and adult films. I'm not going to force those things. I'm allowing those things naturally to happen to me. Some people go, didn't you say you're going to create your own entity when the opportunity naturally comes? But again, I force no one. I force nothing. I don't even force myself. I just wanted to be of erotic benevolence, sensual benevolence, romantic benevolence, and interpersonal benevolence to my fellow survivor thrivers and my fellow neurodivergent thrivers. Because, to be honest, when I saw what other performers were doing, I got bored because I did not want to show my body that didn't heal other bodies. I didn't want to show my soul that didn't heal other souls. I didn't want to show my mind that didn't heal other minds. I didn't want to show my memories. I didn't heal other memories. I didn't want to show my touch that didn't heal other touch. I didn't want to show my taste that didn't heal other tastes. I didn't want to show my sight that didn't heal other sight. I didn't want to show my smell that didn't heal other smells. I didn't want to show my hearing that didn't heal other hearings. Most poem performers don't think that way, but I do. I didn't want to just show my sex that didn't heal other people. Sex. You know? That's why for years up until that point, I was like, I would never do adult films. I would never watch cat modeling. I would never. I didn't even know sex surrogacy existed until I got to college. And the women I sleep with introduced the concept to me. The women would tell me at the time I should do porn, I should do sex surrogacy, I should do webcam modeling. They said that around the same time, the very first people introduced these things to me in terms of me doing these things were neurodivergent persons, survivor persons. So I recognize with the women, it came from a place of trauma, even though they were trying to say you would be different if you did all these three things. With survivors and neurodivergent individuals, it came from a place of healing, and while affirming that I would be very much extraordinary when it comes to doing these things, I decided not to jump out there and do these things, because for me, what I don't want to do is put any pressure on myself or anybody when it comes to these things. What I don't want to do is be an attention seeker. What I don't want to do is make it seem like I'm trying to capitalize and make a name off anyone. For me, that will happen to me if life says it wants to and needs to innately. Because for me, I feel like if I were to do adult films, it would only be in small doses, in small dosages each year. Meaning about maybe 1 to 4 tops, because I have new reasons. The more every day I learn more about why I'm put on this earth. And speak hypothetically, if I were to do these three things, webcam modeling, that would be in small doses too. So if I did the dolphins I was telling you about 1 to 4 times a year, I would do webcam modeling about the same amount. Well, once a month, something like that. Webcam modeling, you can be more frequent. Movies take longer. So 1 to 4 times, if I chose to do the movies, webcam modeling once a month, or sex surrogacy, every few months. I mean, it's just small dosages. I'm just guessing these estimates. I don't know if this is exactly going to be the exact numbers. I'm just throwing numbers out there wisely. I would do these things very small enumeration also because the more I know my purpose and know more of why I've been put on this earth, the more work I have to do. So I will barely have time for adult films and sex surrogacy and webcam modeling. And you're wondering, what if you're so in high demand they want you and need you to do more? Wow. As long as I don't have to put off doing important things, that would be such an honor. Then they would go, well, Antonio, like, what if you were so in high demand that that there's so many adult film companies wanting to sign you? I would prefer non-exclusive contracts. Like, I don't want to be tied down in a company. I just want to bring my affectionate sex erotic films to any company. The only person I would be signed to exclusively would be myself. Everybody else that are fighting over me, I'll work with all y'all as long as y'all are reputable. And of well repute. If you're disreputable, ill repute, fuck you and fuck off. That's how I feel. So when I think about how I feel about things is in the dolphin world too, for me, is that I'm truly sensitized to its impact on future generations for me. I know that my XXX work would also would be something that they could feel is just so majestic to the reality of taking the taboos and keeping the taboos out of sex and sexuality. And letting it be, I'm not saying everybody has to share all the graphic details of their sex life. I'm not saying that everybody has to show all their new bodies and have sex in front of people. What I'm saying is that healthy public discussions about sex are needed much more often. And I'll add this. I'm going to really add this. Instead of telling people, everybody got to be private about sex, I would tell people, shame-centered sex should not be confused or conflated with privacy sex. No guilt-laden sex, but guilt-free sex is needed. If I were to do adult films, webcam modeling, and sex surrogacy, instead of saying if, I'll just say when the time comes, because I want to honor my fellow survivors and neurodivergent families, I would be a sign language friendly triple X star. I would be a Braille friendly triple X star too, because I would be signing and reading Braille while having empathic sex, intuitive sex too. I would have the kind of sex that's even friendly to people in wheelchairs and people who use crutches. Because even they have sex too. I'm pausing so you can really think as I'm speaking, because I think as I speak too. So, a lot of y'all are thinking, Antonio, what if you found your monogamous love of your life, and what if you got married? Would you still do any of these things? I would pass the baton for other people to do these things. And then they will say, so if you were monogamous, love your life and got married, would you still do the intimacy professional stuff and the sex surrogate partner therapy stuff and be in these group sex environments, illegal sex environments? I would say, well, I would also pass the baton for other people to do these things too. Let's say life decided you don't need to be single no more. Here's your spouse, right? Passing the baton means I am so committed to fidelity to my spouse. What if they say, Antonio, let's say you do all these films and webcam modeling and sex surrogate stuff and intimacy professional, and you did these things for some time, and the love of your life suddenly comes to your life, how would you deal with the aftermath of that stuff when you meet them? And this is what I would say. I would say, well, I did it for all of the people like me in need that needed to see sexual sensual interpersonal, romantic, and social that is a sense of belonging to them. Sexual belonging, social belonging, interpersonal belonging, romantic belonging, erotic belonging. So, with the remaining minutes I have with you all, I'll let life bring all these things to me. Life will pick out how these things will work for me. That's not something I'm gonna make it happen on my own. It happens because of life. You know, some people say, "What if it don't happen?" Again, because of life, but I don't wanna keep talking like that. I don't want to hurt my fellow survivor's feelings. I don't want to hurt my fellow neurodivergent person's feelings. So that's the last time I talk like that. I'll say this. Any adult film company that's thinking of having me work with them, they have to be okay with my intimacy, professionalism, sex surrogacy, in order for us to work out well. And you're definitely wondering, Antonio, what if you're so excellent as an intimacy professional that there are some Hollywood or film companies in Atlanta that say, "Hey, Antonio, can you do sex scenes in our televisions and our movies?" Would you do it, Antonio? Are these sensory-friendly sex scenes? Are these survivor-friendly sex scenes? Yes and yes. All right, I'll do it. Are these companies, do they have any savory characters instead of unsavory characters? Yeah, I'll do it. Because we got savory characters, then your company's 100% all right with me. But if your company got unsavory characters, then company's 100% all wrong when it comes to me. But I let these things happen naturally. That's my approach on these things as well when it comes to life. Last time I talked like that, all right, let me move on forward. I don't have much time in this episode. Here we go. So, when I look at how I thought how much this would impact my grandma Claire, and what I could tell her is, hey, none of this is about the glorification of sexual wrongfulness. All of this is about the glorification of healthy erotic love. And endearing empathy. You can call it empathic endearment. You can call it electric eros, E-R-O-S. When I look at my life, too, as I conclude, I just want to say that my webcam modeling, my adult films, my sex surrogacy, my intimacy professionalism will be restorative and curative for survivors of incest, pedophilia, statutory rape, sexual harassment, sexual bullying, sexual violence, sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual grooming, molestation, rape, street harassment, witnesses of necrophilia, bestiality, sexual desire disorders, sexual arousal disorder, sexual orgasm disorder, sexual pain disorders, infertility, pregnancy, complications, and reproductive disorders. And those who need to see that survivors, neurodivergent families, we can have all the libido types, all the sexual personality types, that affirm us, essentially affirm us sexually and affirm us erotically.